John the Baptist was in the process of witnessing Jesus coming, and he made the declaration, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." For us, we don't account so much to what that testimony meant. But to the Jews, they were accustomed to the lamb being sacrificed as an offering for sins. So John was watching the lamb come who would actually take away the sins of the world. So he was declaring to them, this is the real lamb. This is the real sacrifice that's going to take away all the sins of the world. It's just amazing when we read the book and understand that there's really no word that doesn't have significance in the scriptures. There's nothing there that doesn't matter. Everything has a purpose. So it wasn't that John was just lost in the moment and didn't know what was going on. He was declaring a truth that was beyond the natural eye to see. He was telling a story of redemption. And they were hearing, but not hearing. They were seeing and not seeing. Praise God. Good morning. Happy Sunday before Easter. Sunday before Christmas. Wrong holiday. Happy Sunday before Christmas. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, they both pertain to Jesus, all right? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm excited about who God is and what he's doing. My wife was... She was out on yesterday. She was talking about the lines and the stuff that's in the stores and all of this. And you know there are people out there, they're sitting there spending money, and somebody's there, you hear that little voice, it's all right, it's Christmas. What they going to say in January? When the bill come due, it was all right, it was Christmas, you know. And I was, all of the years we've always celebrated Christmas. I don't want you all to think that we don't celebrate Christmas or do Christmas like that. I just don't do the debt thing. I was listening to them on the news and they made a unique statement. They says, people are paying this year on what they bought last year. I said, really? That's a big Christmas. I'm saying all that. My point is this: we have to be careful to keep the reason for the season, because you best believe the world is not promoting Christmas because of the birth of Christ. The world is promoting Christmas for economic satisfaction. In other words, they want your money. So we as the body of Christ, as believers, must always remember the real reason for the season. Because if not, we get lost in the trappings of the world where it's all about merchandise and those things. So I just want to remind you so that you can remind, now don't go home and tell y'all kids, we ain't getting nothing because, pastor want to keep the reason for the season. Now, that ain't what I'm saying. Because our children, they've always experienced Christmas. Now, my wife and I would do some things. Y'all might think this is horrible, but we wouldn't have nothing under the tree. And then, after a while, my kids got to the point where they're going to bring it out. They're going to bring it out. They got it. Because we would have it already. We just didn't have it under the tree. Because, all right. Just for a minute, I want y'all to close your eyes so y'all don't see each other when I ask this question. Because I'm going to explain to you why we ain't had nothing under the tree. Okay, close your eyes just for a moment. I want you to raise your hand. How many of y'all used to sneak downstairs or go to the tree and shake the boxes to see what was under there? All of them hands are up is the reason we didn't have nothing under the tree, all right? Now, for y'all think I was so cruel and doing the Grinch thing, you all were the kind of people that prompt you not to have anything under the tree. So now, plus I love the fact that this was just my thing for Christmas. I would hide stuff in plain sight. You know, that was my thing. Because you think ain't nothing there, but, you know, there's some, I don't know, some little chest that we've always had out. There's stuff in there now. But because you've seen the chest always there, you overlook it. Just saying, that's what I would do. That way, all that wrapping and stuff, I ain't fooled with all of that. You know, I ain't going to wrap all of that stuff. Just go over there and say, what are you going over there for? Just say, boom. You know. So I enjoyed that. Yeah, that was just, you know. After a while, they get to know that was kind of what I was going to do. So now they come by the house, they just look at the tree and keep going. Like, oh well. But bless the Lord. So that's my Christmas portion for this morning, because you know I do not have a Christmas sermon. I am talking about the Savior, but if you wanted me to go to Luke and read to you about how, you know, this day a Savior is born unto us, I'm not going to do that. That ain't what I got. So we done our Christmas talk. Hallelujah, glory to God. Romans chapter 14. Let's go to verse 17. Romans chapter 14, verse 17. You know, the scripture says in Matthew, he says, and from this time forth, Jesus went about preaching the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It was interesting. So Jesus is preaching the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Matthew chapter 6, I think verse 9, we talked about thy kingdom come, thy will be done. So how is the kingdom coming, but it's at hand? I think Romans chapter 14, verse 17 is helping us. Because the Bible says in Romans chapter 14, verse 17, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Okay. Today, I want to speak with you from the subject matter of, don't you want to be a part of the kingdom? Don't you want to be a part of the kingdom? So Jesus comes in, and he comes on the scene, and what he preaches is that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He's preaching that to a bunch of people who are living in situations where they are they're subject to the Roman government. They don't even have their own freedom. They don't even have their own liberty. They are not quite slaves, but not necessarily free in the sense of experiencing their own freedom. They can't make quote-unquote laws within the civil government because they're governed by the Romans. And Jesus tells them about another kingdom that's at hand. When you look in the book of Acts, after Jesus is later on I'll do it like this, Jesus is about to ascend, and they're concerned with, are you going to return the kingdom of Israel at this time? So things, even after Jesus having preached the kingdom, after Jesus being resurrected, things still haven't seemingly changed kingdom-wise in the sense of the physical element that they are in. So it must mean when the kingdom of heaven is at hand, must not be something physical. Maybe it's righteousness. Maybe it's peace. Maybe it's joy in the Holy Ghost. Just want to make sure you follow me. So, go with me to, we were at Romans 14 and 17. Let's talk a little bit then. Let's talk about righteousness. So, if the kingdom of God is not meat or drink, if the kingdom of God is indeed righteousness, if the kingdom of God is indeed peace, if the kingdom of God is indeed joy in the Holy Ghost, what is this thing called righteousness then? What is this? Let me give you what Strong's calls, or what Strong defines righteousness as. It's the state of him who is such as he ought to be. Now that is a powerful statement. It is the state of him who is such as he ought to be. It is the condition that's acceptable to God. You know, when I was thinking about that, Adam and Eve, when they were first created, were in the state that they ought to be. Amen. I spend my time sometimes, I look at our world, and I was looking at a documentary or something on plastic. You know, I know you think that's what, Pastor, you lost your mind. You got nothing else to do? Well, it was interesting because they were talking about plastic and how we recycle plastic. But our real recycling of plastic used to be sending it to China, who's no longer taking it. So now they're having problems with recycling plastic. They send it to Malaysia and Thailand and places like that, and India, who are really not recycling it. So the whole thing was, they said, let's show people how proliferated the world is with plastic. And they said, we'll go to somewhere that's almost untouched by man. And the whole thing was, they go to the island, and it's plastic there, all kinds of plastic. And what I was thinking when I look at stuff like that, and I like to fish. So for a fisherman, one of the most enticing things is to find a lake or a pond that nobody else fishes in. Because your mind starts to just rambles over how many fish are growing in that pond. Because it's untouched by man. So it's this desire to see this untouched place or whatever. And they find all of this stuff there. So my mind immediately goes to, man, what was the Garden of Eden like? Untouched, unpolluted, in the state that it ought to be. So wait a minute. What is man like when he is in the state that he ought to be? Are you really ready for this? This is loaded. This is loaded. This is loaded. You have been made to be in the state that you ought to be. I'm trying. Let's see if I got any book for what I'm saying. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So let's see what we can get out of here. For God hath made Jesus to be sin for us. Jesus knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We were made to be in the state that we ought to be. I'm going to work with this just a little bit. We were made. That means you're not trying to do something. We were made. That means it's not about your works. So all of us who are still trying to be right, have you realized you were made right? See, this is the way the kingdom, this thing is real. We ain't waiting on the kingdom to show up. This is what the kingdom do. It come in and make you right. Let's walk this a little bit. So it's the condition that's acceptable to God. Now, There's no other way that is acceptable to God. Look at Philippians 3 and 9. So the only way that is acceptable unto God, we have been made that way. I can never say I work to achieve that way. You can never say, okay, well, I was at church all the time. And what are you saying? So what are you trying to imply? I made all the prayer meetings. And? I always read my Bible. And? What are you trying to say? Philippians 3 and 9, the Apostle Paul is talking to the Philippians. He says, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, not having all of my own works, not having all of my own accolades or achievements to say, this is why I get to go to heaven. Don't have none of that. He said, I only want to have my own righteousness. All that stuff is of the law. And you got to realize, here's the thing about the law. Everybody failed it. Nobody could keep it. He says, but I got the righteousness, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Now, wait a minute. So the righteousness that's in the kingdom doesn't come by works. It comes by trust. Oh, you can take the word faith is a Greek word for trust. So wait a minute now, wait a minute, wait. You mean to tell me that it ain't about what we do, it's about who we trust. Wow. It's a kingdom invasion, I'm telling you. See, this righteousness does not come by rules and regulations. What do you mean? Matthew chapter 5, verse 20. Now, this is just good. Matthew chapter 5, verse 20. Look at this. He says, for I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. Wait a minute. Scribes and Pharisees were the religious people of the day. They prayed. They had long prayers in front of everybody. They fasted often. These were all the people who done all of the religious stuff. Jesus said, if your righteousness don't exceed theirs, you ain't getting it. He says, ye shall in no case enter. You ain't even getting in. If your righteousness ain't better than theirs, you cannot get in. So now wait a minute. Some of us, we ain't fasted, I don't know how long. Hello. We days of prayer, please. And Jesus has the audacity to speak to the religious community and say, listen, you see them over there? If your righteousness don't exceed theirs, you ain't getting in. And he's talking about the most religious people of the day. In other words, the people who we would think are the most righteous. Because it wasn't or it isn't about the rules and the regulations. It's about trust. So give me a minute. I'm still moving. We're still talking about. Go with me to Romans chapter 4, verse 1 through 3, New Living Translation. Romans 4, verses 1 through 3, New Living Translation. See, because sometimes we get tripped up thinking about, oh, man, I didn't read 5 chapters yesterday. Oh, God, Lord, forgive me. Oh. You know, I got to read 5 chapters every day as though that's keeping you righteous. Now, I'm not saying it's not a good practice to put in. You want to have consistent Bible reading. Nothing at all. But that's not what's making you righteous. Romans chapter 4, verse 1 through 3. Abraham was, humanly speaking, the founder of our Jewish nation. What did he discover about being made right with God? Isn't that a unique question? What did he discover? We need to discover something. Okay, look at verse 2. If his good deeds had made him acceptable to God, he would have had something to boast or brag about. But that was not God's way. So now wait a minute. Let me show you something you may not be realizing. Abraham is before the law.
Yes, sir. Yes.
So God had already instituted how he was going to do righteousness to men even before the law. Because he knew men couldn't keep the law. Verse 3. For the scriptures tell us, Abraham believed God or trusted God, and God counted him as righteous because of his faith.
Thank you, Lord.
Now, wait a minute. Don't that sound familiar? How did you get saved? I mean, you bulls and goats you offered up, right? So you mean to tell me the same way Abraham received righteousness is the way you received righteousness? Because you trust God and put your trust in his son, Jesus Christ, as Lord and Savior. Not what you did. I mean, not your works. Just trying to make sure we understand, because this is the kingdom. This is what the kingdom is all about, us being acceptable to God. I'm going to get into that a little bit more in a minute on another point, but just hold on. So this righteousness is given based upon our trust in Christ. Go to Romans 10 and 10. We're going to jump a little bit. And I just want to make sure we get this clear. Because you would be, see, when you say stuff to people like, you know, you look at Christians and you say, you righteous. They're looking like, man, he just don't know. You are righteous. You are in the state that you ought to be. You are acceptable unto God. I'm not trying to find out what you do and don't do and all of that. I'm not into the legalism. Now, what I am saying, though, is, well, because of your righteousness, you should want to live a certain way. But what I'm saying is, I can't come to you and you say, well, you know what? They had a slip up last week. Maybe they're not righteous no more. You know, I want to share something with you. Because I believe this is the trick of the enemy that he plays on people. When Jesus died for sin, it wasn't just the ones that you committed today. No, he died for all sins. Okay, you want a real revelation? Jesus died for the sins of people that won't even ask for forgiveness. He still died for them. I'll let you say on that for a moment. Romans chapter 10, verse 10. Watch this. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God. What? Listen to that. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by confessing with your mouth that you are saved. Now, Jackie, do that in the King James now for a moment. I'm going to show you something. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. So, with your heart you believe, and that word unto means resulting in. So now, for with the heart man believes, resulting in righteousness. So your trust in your heart results into righteousness, and with your mouth confession is made, resulting into salvation. Not our works. Who are we trusting? That's what it all comes down to. That's why when some people have done tithing and all of that stuff wrong. They preached it because they want money. The real thing about tithing is trust. It's about trust. That's why, watch this. That's why God talks about robbing. The reason you rob is because you don't trust God to take care of you. That's why you rob. Now, it's not about money. It's about trust. God is trying to develop our trust in him. That's what it's always about. Because trust is the currency of the kingdom. Go to Romans chapter 4, verse 22, New Living Translation. I ain't going to mess with that no more. Romans 4, verse 22, another time, another place. Now, and because of Abraham's faith, God counted him as righteous. Why? Okay, wait a minute, wait. We like to think that it was because of Abraham when he had to offer up Isaac. The reason he went to offer up Isaac is because he trusted him. Okay, watch this. The reason you live the way you do is because you trust him. See, what we've tried to do is replace how we're living as a thing that makes us righteous. No. It's the trust that counts for righteousness. Now, I live a certain way because I trust him. Look at verse 23. And when God counted him as righteous, watch this. It wasn't just for Abraham's benefit, it was recorded. So he said, okay, when God counted him righteous, he didn't want to record this just for Abraham. Look at verse 24. It was for our benefit too. So we would know this is the way it works. To assuring us that God will also count us as righteous if we believe in him. Or if we trust in him. The one who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. Look at verse 25. He was handed over to die because of our sins, and he was raised to life to make us right with God. We are made right. That's why the kingdom of God is righteousness. Because we made right. Not work to get there. We're made that way. So when Jesus comes in talking about the kingdom of heaven is at hand, or the kingdom of God is at hand, this is what he's saying. You are made acceptable to God now. I'm the way for you to get acceptance to God. All that other stuff don't even count. So, the kingdom of heaven is not meat or drink, but it's righteousness. Secondly, it's peace. It's peace. Now, we have funny definitions for peace. For instance, the United States is at peace now. We're not technically at war. Although there's a lot of wars going on, so we have funny definitions for peace. We say, I just want some peace and quiet. We got funny definitions of peace. So I want to make sure that we understand what the scriptures are saying when it's talking about peace. Because, you know, like I said, we supposedly we at peace with all of these nations, but yet all of these things are going on. Now, listen to this. This is what this word peace in its actual Greek rendering means. It is the tranquil state of a soul that is assured of its salvation through Christ. The tranquil state of a soul that is assured of its salvation through Christ. Comma. So I got some more. But we need to get that first part first. So it's the tranquil state of our soul when we are assured of our salvation through Christ. Before I go on to the next part, let me see if I could maybe share something with you to help understand this. Let's say God is real, and he is. The Bible says, in the beginning, God created. So that means that when things did begin, he created them. You know, I know some people have trouble dealing with that, but I just don't understand. How can we go ahead and believe that we were some slimy thing that crawled out of the water that evolved into all of this stuff, but can't believe that God created us? When ain't nothing else slimy crawling out of the water growing into nothing. And then you want to get a little bit even more deep. Who created the water? I mean, you know, I'm just saying, you know, everybody talking about Earth is billions of years old. That's not true. Ain't nowhere near being true. Well, I can see when there's a time that you go like, what? We can wreck some science classes. This stuff, that's not, this is not based. People are trying to explain things, you all, and they're trying to come up ways to make people understand stuff the way they want you to understand it. But God gonna tell you, I mean, why does God have to keep a secret about it? He says, in the beginning, I created this. So whether you want to believe that or not, he's put it right out there. In Job chapter 22, I think he says, I hung the earth on nothing. Well, I just can't believe that. I don't know how. It has to be. Okay. But he did tell you. He didn't do it as a secret. So we want to believe things because we want to believe it when it's a way that we can practically understand it. Well, this, if stuff evolved into what people are saying, why is there no more evolvement? Why are things not still happening like that? You know what? We're losing more animals than we're gaining. Stuff going extinct every day. Well, you know, that's the reason for global warming. Listen, there is global warming. Do you know why? Sin. The earth is literally heating up because of the sin of man. Oh, no, Pastor, I don't understand. Okay, well, wait. I'm just saying because we listen to all these people on TV tell us all of this stuff. We go like, yeah, that must make sense, all that pollution out there. Listen, I'm not saying the pollution doesn't play a role in this, but sin is the dominant factor. When Adam and Eve had Cain and Abel, and when Cain slew Abel, his blood spoke from the earth. How long has the earth been swallowing innocent blood? How long? Do you know that the Bible says that when they commit certain sins in the land, that the earth will spew you out? It will vomit you out of the land. We think stuff is not alive because we don't see it moving like us. So you got all of this sin being committed in places, in the earth, and the earth has to take that in. And it was not created to do that. And you wonder why it's heating up. I'm just trying to put it where we can all understand it instead of going like, yeah, that's global warming. It is global warming. The whole globe is warming up because of the sin of man. All right, I'm trying to get the peace, but y'all got me out on global warming, so let me see if we get here. So the tranquil state of a soul assured of its salvation through Christ, and so fearing nothing from God and content with its earthly lot. And so we're fearing nothing from God and we're content with our earthly lot. A lot of us need to get there. Well, we're content with our earthly lot. You know, I do, and I like I said, I think about things. I think about my grandparents and the way that they lived. I think about life in general. How much is enough for us? Where are we really content to live? Why do we look down on somebody who doesn't want everything that we want? And can I be honest with you? Why do we want as much as we want? I mean, what's really contributing to your life? Well, if I had more money, how much is that? Isn't it amazing? Okay, all of us in here have gone through money. Do you know all of us has at some point in time, we said if I had this much, you know we've had that by now. And look where we are. I mean, I can remember being a little like, man, if I had $100. You know, I remember one time, case in point. Now, this was years ago. I was a little kid. I got $10. And that was a lot of money when I was little. That was a lot of money. And we had this restaurant called Mr. Quick. They done these cheeseburgers was out of this world. And I went and I bought $10 worth of cheeseburgers and ate them. And I remember my mom and them said, you ate $10 worth of hamburger? I was like, yep. I worked real hard for whatever, and I got my $10. And I went and bought it. I did. To this day, I remember going like, that $10, that wasn't worth that. That's probably almost 45 years ago. I still remember that because I took what I thought was a lot of money, or what was a lot of money to me at that time, and I just wasted it on something that wasn't really worth it. How many of us are doing that with our lives? I did it at a restaurant. But we're doing it with our lives. People are telling us that we need to do this. How are they telling us? On TV? Can I be honest? Why do we really need a new car? Do we need one? You know they do have automotive repair shops. I mean, just in case you didn't know that, they really had those. You'd be like, man, I need new spark plugs. I'm going to get a new car. And I'm not saying nothing wrong with getting a. See, this is when we check our motives. Because you know what we're really getting away from? The peace of God. Because Jesus said this. My peace I give you, not as the world, but my peace. That lets us know the peace that he gives us is not the same as what the world gives. I mean, I look at the latest and the great. I was washing clothes, and now I look at Tide. How many times are they going to improve it? New and improved. You just improved it. And I'm trying to figure out what the improvement is. But they're constantly doing that to us to make us desire more. So we're not content with our lot in life. Well, somebody else, their house right next to yours, they went out and bought this and that and all of this other stuff. Well, I got to go get that. Why? I mean, I remember a time it was just, ooh, man, I'm just glad to be in this house. You were content with your lot. Why is that? We get a raise? We spent that before we got it. Oh, yeah, I'm getting a raise. I'm going to get this. You already, so now you go like, man, when's our next raise? Where's the peace that we have with God that we're content in our lot in life? Why do we always need more to be satisfied? See, y'all looking at me like, that ain't me. Okay, I let it be me for all of y'all today then so y'all don't have to look incriminated. When you turn on the TV and they show you all of these people standing at Walmart on Black Friday that trampled each other, what are they buying? Okay, wait, do you think that they buying something that they don't have? I need a bigger TV. Why? It's the same picture. Ain't nobody doing nothing different on the little TV than they are on the big one. Same thing. All of this, and I'm saying, what are we doing? What about peace, you all? Do you know the number one killer in the United States is stress? stress. So what about God's peace? Maybe part of it is we're just not content with our lot in life. You know what we say now? Well, is the house is a three-bedroom, a four-bedroom, a five-bedroom? You know, we grew up in a bedroom. You know, to be honest, we grew up with a house with rooms. You made it whatever it needed to be. Two and a half bath or three bath? You know, we had one bathroom, you waited your turn. Hurry up! You waited your turn. But see, now, look at us now. Why are we not content with our lot in life? So wait a minute, if we don't stop now and start being content, it's just going to get worse. I'm trying to talk about peace, but y'all just pulling me out there. Look at this, Philippians 4 and 7. Philippians 4 and 7, and you all quote this. King James, please. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Listen to this. It's, okay, the peace of God, peace, O-F, remember, out from, the peace out from God, it passes all understanding. Notice the peace out from God. Not just peace like the world gives you, but the peace that comes from God, it passes all understanding. What do you mean, Pastor? This peace is above and better than anything we could comprehend. This is the peace that you see when somebody does something wrong to you, and it is obviously wrong, and you don't retaliate. This is an incredible peace. It's passing all my understanding. Because all I understand right now is what should be happening to you. But I got a peace. I mean, when you're on a situation, when you know the promotion is yours. After all, you don't put the work in. You don't laid it out. This is the criteria. And you mean it's the person that I trained? Oh, there's peace all up in this room right now. Because if it wasn't for peace, it wouldn't be a room up in here now. We'd enlarge our borders. But see, it's a peace that passes. I'm serious because, you know, as an African-American people, I look at the civil rights movement. The Spirit of God had to be behind that. Now, I know you say, you know, that they had guns and all of this other stuff, but I'm just simply saying, it's some angry folk. Yes. But to have a non-violent approach? Are you serious? Yeah, most of us, we look and say, that wouldn't be me. See, because the peace is passing your understanding. We couldn't understand that. That had to be God behind that. Because of the peace that they had. And you know where they were meeting? In the church. In the church. The people don't want to talk. When they show you the documentaries, they don't show you about them praying. They just show you the meetings they had. What about the prayer meetings they had? When they show you the documentaries, it's all about them with signs protesting. They don't show you with them the sign of them being on their knees seeking the face of God. You look at the real movement and find the intercessors that's behind it. Because there was a peace that passes all understanding. Go to John chapter 14, verse 27. I'll get with you, mother. I'm trying to wrap this up. John 14 and 27. It says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world give. This is nothing that we look at and could compare with the world. Don't think that. That's why you can find, I look at people that have gone through things and they experienced stuff in their life, and the people, they're able to take it. They're not retaliating. They're not striking out. They're not looking at way. This is, I mean, think about it. This is you in your life. The peace of God has come on you at times. You didn't know what it was. You couldn't explain it, but you was like, well, all right. The peace of God subdued you. This is what the kingdom is like. It's peace in the midst of a storm. Stuff going wrong, things falling apart, but you got peace. You don't know how stuff going to work out. You don't, I got a peace. You know what? The truth of the matter is, there are times when we can't explain it. But all you know is, you know what? Man, I got a peace about it. That's literally what we say. I got a peace about it. Don't know. I don't understand it. I can't see it. I mean, I've seen when Charity was in the hospital, I got a peace about it. Tubes everywhere. I got a piece about it. It's not based on what you see. It's not based on what you hear people saying. Because they're saying a whole lot of stuff. You know, in the midst of a crisis, you can't call everybody and say something. Because the peace, they're looking at you. Why you got peace? Because it's just passing their understanding. That's all. That's why he says, I leave this with you. The gift that Jesus gave us is peace. What are you doing with your gift? Sometimes we don't realize we've been entrusted with something because we're in the kingdom. All of this stuff going on around. Okay, just step back for a minute. Wait a minute, Lord, I'm looking for your peace. I'm looking for your peace. I'm not moved by what I see. I'm not moved by what I hear from all of the stuff I hear. Some of you all are in crisis now. You're dealing with things. Stuff don't look like it's right. Why don't you tap into the peace? Look what he said. I left it with you. My peace I give unto you. So anything that comes against your peace, you know it ain't God. See, God, listen. Oh, Holy Ghost. God ain't mad at you for something you done. And he trying to get you back now. This kind of peace, I ain't fearing that God is trying to get me now. That's when I was on the wrong side. Now that I'm on the right side, no, he ain't mad at me. He mad at some folk, but I ain't one of them. See, now there's a peace. Can you imagine, Minister Plummer, your worst enemy is now your friend. He no longer calls me. Watch this. I'm not an enemy of God. I'm a friend of God now. I was once an enemy. As an enemy, I'll do my story. I can't tell yours. But I know what it's like to literally, physically exert myself so much so that I would go home and go to sleep and just collapse, not lying awake in my bed, because I knew at that time that if I died, I was going to hell. That wasn't peace. Because I was an enemy. But now I'm a friend. I sleep real good. Oh, yeah. He gave his beloved sweet sleep. See, now I got peace. So I'm not, well, you look at that. Okay, I'm just, you know, y'all ain't got to be real about this. But you remember when you used to be little and thunder and lightning? That's God. He's up to his work. And you thought his work was going to strike you down. It's thunder and lightning not. They ain't striking me. He's not out to get me now. I got peace with him. There's something about knowing you have peace with God now. Everybody may not like me, but God does. And he ain't got nothing against me. I can live in peace now. Well, man, I can't believe that. Maybe God out to get me. No, he ain't out to get me. About what? Why are you living like that? This is the kingdom. You have peace. Peace with God. Let me keep going. Let me wrap this on up there. Okay, so the kingdom of God is not food or drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Look at this, joy in the Holy Ghost. So joy is joy or gladness. It's the occasion for joy. But listen to this. This joy is a fixed position. It's a fixed position in time or place. It's a fixed position. Now, my joy is fixed. Let me tell you what I'm really saying. My joy is fixed despite what happens to me. Well, you got people that my husband left me, my wife left me, my dog died, my this, my that, my that. Okay, don't have to affect your joy. You know what it affects? Your happiness. Because something happened. But your joy is fixed. Your joy is a fixed state. It's a fixed place. Nothing should alter that. Because your joy is derived from the kingdom. The kingdom is eternal. I know what I'm challenging you with is living at a different level. But it's time for us to realize, what is the kingdom of God? What is God really talking about? We can live above and beyond all of this stuff.
Yes.
Now, I'm not just trying to say some fantasy stuff and all of this. I want us to understand what Jesus is talking about when he says that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Let me give you some text for what I'm saying. Go to John 16 and 22. John 16 and 22. Jesus is speaking to his disciples. He says, "And ye now therefore have sorrow." Something must have happened. "But I will see you again." Because Jesus was telling them, "I'm leaving. But I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you." Wait a minute. So Jesus is telling them, "I'm going to leave, and you can be a little sorrowful, but watch this. You can be sorrowful, but you still have joy. Because no man can take that from you. I don't care how bad you're being treated, they can't take your joy. I don't care what's going on in your life, they can't take your joy. Because your joy is in the kingdom." We have to begin to realize, haven't you ever found a place, watch this, this joy has come on you and you just didn't realize what it was. There's somebody looking at you and go like, "Man, this should be," but you rejoicing. You ever say, well, "Baby, these are tears of joy." You cry, but there's just tears. "I just don't know. I can't explain it, but something on the inside." Yes, it's the joy. Because the joy is fixed. It ain't waiting on something to happen. It ain't about, "Well, things are all going my way right now." Not in the kingdom. Because the joy is a state of being. This is where I'm at always. Now, I ain't saying you always jumping and shouting and all the way. Because a lot of that stuff is happiness. Something happened. "Ooh, I got a raise." Yeah, you ready now. Mm-hmm. But you can still have joy when they overlook you for the promotion. Because my joy is predicated in the kingdom. I've got access into the kingdom of God through Jesus Christ. That's never going to change. It's fixed. So we should start living in joy instead of happiness. Because see, watch this. It happened to me, but it didn't go through me. What do you mean? See, my outward man is perishing every day. But my inner man, that's the one you didn't get through. Yeah, it happened to me, but it didn't go through me. So it ain't affecting my joy. Well, you should be smiling all the time. You should always. No. That ain't. Watch this. You gonna tell me that when Jesus is hanging on the cross, he was smiling? But he still had joy, cause it's in a fixed place. See, we don't got it twisted. People start to. That's all of that crazy stuff that we don't hear people say. My joy is fixed. You waiting on my facial expression to catch up? No, it's my inner man, the one that you can't see. See, this joy can't be taken away by people. Can't nobody get this. I don't care if they're torturing you, they can't get that. All right, go to Hebrews 10 and 34. This joy is not predicated on worldly possessions. I would venture to say that most of us in here now have more than we have ever had in our lives. I remember going to school, I had like 3 different pair of pants. And I remember this girl said, I know what you're going to wear tomorrow. Girls can be cruel in school to brothers. Brothers that ain't got it going on. I mean, you know, the other guys, you know, yeah. They had, back then, they had their name brand blue jeans and all of that stuff, you know. She was like, yeah, I know what you're going to wear tomorrow. She probably liked me because she's watching what I was wearing every day. That's what it was. Yep. That's all it was. I should have told myself that back then because I was crushed, kid. I was crushed. That's all I had. My secret was out. I was crushed. But this joy is not predicated on our worldly possessions. How much stuff do we do? How much stuff do we, you know, I think about how much stuff I need to clean out. I mean, just get rid of. I mean, I think about, and I know my mind might work a little different than y'all. I'd say, Lord, can I just go on vacation for 2 weeks and people come in and clean out everything and get new stuff? Yeah, yeah. But the new stuff is the stuff that I need. Yeah. Not just, you know, I ain't just wanting to get new stuff per se, the new stuff. But I'm saying all this other stuff because I grew up not having a lot. So, okay, for all of us, now I'm going to share something with you. I look this way, so I won't be talking about nobody personal. Most of us that didn't have a lot of stuff, you got a lot of stuff now. If you didn't have a lot of shoes, your closet full of shoes. You don't have to say ouch, but amen is appropriate. I mean, if you didn't grow up with a lot of clothes, because now that you have means, subconsciously you're saying, I ain't never going to be out without them again. And it has brought you a sense of security. You like having that. But my question is this. That made you happy, but it didn't give you joy. Because your joy wasn't predicated on those worldly possessions. Watch this. Where am I at? Hebrews 10, right? 10 and 34, is that right? Yes. He said, for you had compassion of me in my bonds. So here's somebody in jail. And you took joyfully the spoiling of your goods. They took what? No. Joyfully. You mean when they took your stuff, you were still joyful. See, that's real. So when the repo man comes, you still joyful. See, y'all don't want to get in the book. Y'all don't want to do. No, that ain't God. That ain't God. Some of us, God has allowed things to be taken from some of us so we can see that ain't your joy. You can survive without that. So now as he gives it back and multiplies it, you ain't into that. See, because y'all, you don't want the branch to, you want it to grow, but it needs to grow correctly. Some of us were growing, but not correctly. You know, it's like when it comes time for a bone, they break it and reset it so to grow correctly. Some of us, we were growing, but you were going to have a limp like that. It's going to always be noticeable in your life. So just reset it. Because he says, they took joyfully the spoiling of their goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and enduring substance. When are we going to start realizing that there's a better place than where we live at? And it ain't the Caribbean. Look, Monique and Adrian, they over here. Everybody want to go. Where y'all from? Woo! I can't wait. I just go. Woo! Woo! It, like that's so beautiful. They over here. Everybody want to go where somebody else is from. You go to Orlando, folk ain't never been to Disney World. Everybody else across the world trying to get there. Because we have this thing that we think that what somewhere else is better than we are, instead of understanding the kingdom is better than where we are. So I'm not, all of this stuff don't matter. It's stuff. Do you ever really stop and think that everything here is going to burn? Let me just give you a straight up reality. Everything here is going to burn. That Bentley is going to burn real good. Everything. That 10,000 square foot home is going to burn. Everything. That St. John's suit, it's going to burn. It's going to burn. All of this stuff. Now think about that. All of it's going to burn, and these are the things that we're trying to get. We're just trying to hold it before the fire get here. What about the kingdom? That's eternal. Okay, I'm sorry. Verse 35. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. So he's saying in the midst of this, don't throw away what really matters. You took joy for the spoiling of your goods. Don't throw away what really matters. We almost finished. See, I remember this. I was at a stop sign or something one time, and I saw they had this bumper sticker, and it says, "He who dies with the most toys wins." He who dies with the most toys wins. Because their mindset was, get as much stuff as you can. But he says, you took the spoiling of your goods joyfully. They took all your stuff. You know, well, I don't want to go into a bunch of stuff. But that's not true. He who dies with the most toys wins. My last one, I'll close with this. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10. The Jews are celebrating the building of the wall surrounding Jerusalem, which had been down. So Nehemiah speaks to them in verse 10. He says, "Then he said unto them, Go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." Don't you know that sometimes the strength that you made it through on was joy? This joy gives you strength. You know how somebody, okay, let me give you a for instance. You know how somebody could say something to you and it's almost like they punched you in the stomach. I mean, just like, this joy is the strength to stand in the midst of that. Because it's fixed. This joy ain't changing. No matter what you hear, no matter what you do. So now the joy of the Lord is your strength. It's your strength to remain in the midst of the battle. It's the strength that's there when things are pulling on every side. And people, how you make it and how you getting up every day? The joy of the Lord is my strength. This ain't because you jumping around and bouncing and shouting and all of that. No, no, no. This is a joy that's not predicated on what's happening around me. It's the joy of the Lord that's your strength. I close with this. Don't you want to be a part of the kingdom? When you talk about righteousness that's not predicated on what we're doing, when you talk about a peace that passes all understanding, and there's a joy that literally strengthens you in the midst of what's going on in life, and the things that take place cannot rob you of that joy, who doesn't want to be a part of the kingdom of God? See, we didn't preach religion. We're talking about the kingdom. And the only way to be a part of the kingdom of God is to accept or to trust that God gave his son for the sins of the entire world. And he raised him from the dead. If you can trust that God did that, then you're ready to be a part of the kingdom of God. Yeah.